respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers and my sisters listening in their cozy homes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by thanking you, the people of this masjid, for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accepts these efforts of yours in listening to this message. Number two, taking this message home and conveying it to those that are not with us here today. And thirdly, implementing this message in your daily lives. As I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these efforts of mine in delivering this message to you, and that Allah gives me the tawfiq to act upon what I convey. Now before I even begin, I'm going to set the record straight here. I have come here to convey a message. And inshallah, Allah willing, I'm going to convey that message. And I'm not going to move an inch till I've delivered that message. So if those of you that like to lean against the walls, then by all means do so. Those of you that like to stretch your legs, then by all means do so. There is only one thing that I'm asking for out of that body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and these are these things on the side of your head called ears. That is the only thing that I ask for today. And at the same time, I'd like to make it clear for those of you that have come for entertainment or to get a buzz, I'm telling you now, and it's so sad to say this, because we have become and fallen so low that some of us consider these gatherings in which Allah and the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are conveyed come for entertainment. If we feel that we are being entertained, or the message that is being delivered is one that pleases us, one that we feel at ease with, we will listen. And if we feel that the message that is being delivered is one that we feel uneasy with, or we are not being entertained, we find it a burden to sit down. So for those of you that have come for entertainment, I want to make it easy for you and tell you, by Allah, you will not be entertained. And nor will you get a buzz out of what you hear today. Come. If you've come to take something home, to learn something new, and to beautify your lives with the pure teachings of the Quran and the pure teachings of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I swear by the Almighty Allah, you will get more than your money's worth. And there will be something there for every one of you to take home. There was a time when the Muslims, they would visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would meet with the ulama on a regular basis. And they would come to the masajid, and they would learn the Quran, they would learn the meanings of the Quran, They would learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would learn the meanings of the hadith. They would learn the laws of Islam on different aspects of the deen. And they would do this so that they could educate themselves on Islam. And in turn, beautify their lives with the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of Islam. And as a result of this, their lives and the problems that they encountered in their lives were very few, and their lives were full of peace, happiness and sukoon. But today, what do we find? We find, never mind visiting the masajid to learn the Quran, never mind visiting the masajid to learn the meanings of the Quran or anything of that nature, we visit the masjid once a week, and that is on a Jummah. And that, for some, lasts 5-10 minutes. And some of us, Allah save us from this, have not even been given the tawfiq from Allah to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once a week. And we visit the house once a year on the day of Eid. And we come not even knowing how to prepare to perform the Eid Salah. Thus, our Islamic knowledge is minimal. If a non-believer here and now was to question us with regards to the basic teachings of Islam, I assure you, the majority of us will bow down. And we will lower our heads in shame, expressing ignorance that we just don't know. And because of this, the problems that we are encountering on a daily basis number hundreds and thousands. And in turn, our lives, to some extent, are full of misery and sadness. Out of all the different problems that the Muslim youth are facing today, there are two main problems that they will resort and turn to their imam for. As an imam over the past years, this is my experience. This is what my experience tells me. By the grace of Allah, I've heard and dealt with these problems hundreds of times. And I'm sure the imams up and down the country that work with our youngsters will express exactly the same opinion. What are these two problems that we deal with? And this is the only time that these youngsters will approach their imams. Problem number one is one of what I call a dodgy marriage. This is the name that I give to it. This is, in reality, there's nothing dodgy about it. We look at it Islamically, there is nothing wrong about it. By the grace of Allah, Islamically, it is correct. But it is the scenario that goes with this marriage. What is the scenario? Boy likes girl. Girl likes boy. Boy wants to marry girl. And the girl will also want to marry this boy. And they approach their mother and father. mother and father on both sides, the girl's side and the boy's side. Never mind even talking about this. Never mind even going to see this boy his daughter has chosen, or this girl his son has chosen. Never mind even seeing them. They just don't want anything to do with it. Why? Because they have their own agenda. And that agenda is that they either, because it's, they're all the same caste, she's Gujarati, he's Pakistani, or she's Bengali, he's Pakistani, or she's an Arab, he's a Gujarati, either it's because of this, or either because they've given their word to someone back home, one of the relatives back home. So they don't even want to listen to what their son and daughter have to say. And this son and this daughter try hard. And they will try their utmost best to persuade their mother and father. And they will try. But mother and father have already made up their mind. So what happens? This is what happens. That boy and girl will go and they will live with one another without nikah. And this happened, and the cases go by hundreds, Lord. It's not just the one-off. And they think nothing of this. Why? Because they've tried. They went to their mother, they went to their father, they tried everything under the sun, but they wanted nothing to do with it. So they will go and live with one another in haram without nikah. And it's so sad. As long as he doesn't bring this girl to their house. What may happen is, this boy and this girl, they run away. They run away, they leave their town. Why? Because fearing the trouble that they may very soon encounter, they will leave their homes. And now, they will come to one imam, to a second, to a third, looking for somebody that will read their nikah. And it is very difficult to find someone that will actually read their nikah. Because the imam now fears the troubles that lay in front of him. And again, in many instances, these that run away will live in sin. This is problem number one that we deal with on a daily basis. The very problem that many of us just brush under the carpet as if it's not happening. This is not the one that we are going to deal with today. Problem number two, the one that we're going to deal with today. And this problem is on the increase. As I address you here and you listen to the reminder, and every day that passes, this problem is on the increase. Not just within the youngsters. Like cancer is spreading. 40, 45 years of age, people that have been married for 20, 25 years. This is the scenario. All of a sudden, husband and wife have a quarrel. And things are warming up at home. Before you know it, the guy's lost his cool. Out of anger, he's gone and divorced his wife. Thrice. Talaq, 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 or any other word that they may use. Divorce, divorce, divorce. And it always seems to be that he's given 3 talaq. Never will you ever hear that the guy's gone and given 1. Never. Never will anybody ever approach you saying that they've given their wife only 1 talaq. It is always three. As if the damage cannot be done with one. Now he's gone and given these three talaqs. The next stage, a few hours pass, or maybe a day or two. He's come down from heaven. And he's cooled down. She's cooled down. All of a sudden they realize that they still love one another. What happens? One of two things again. There are those that think nothing of the three talaqs that they have given. And they will brush this under the carpet as if nothing has happened. And they will live with one another as they were living before, pretending to be husband and wife. And they will live like this. Yet in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not husband and wife. That woman that he has inside his house, which he considers as his wife, that woman and any other woman on the street, in the eyes of Allah, they are exactly the same. And if he was to come to his wife, which he considers to be his wife, thereafter, as a man comes to his wife, in the marital sense, he in the eyes of Allah will be committing sin. And in the eyes of Allah, he will be fornicating, he will be committing zina with this woman, which he considers to be his wife. Why? Before you marry any girl, that girl is haram for you to touch. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the marital sense. How does that girl become halal? When we utter a few words. It is called nikah. This is what nikah is. Where one says nakahtuki, the other one says qabil. I take you in my nikah. She says I've accepted. Two Muslim witnesses there. They saw this, they heard this. In the eyes of Allah, now that girl is halal for this guy. So just like a woman becomes halal for a guy with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a woman becomes haram for a guy with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the words which make this woman haram are the words of talaq, talaq, and talaq. How many people out there that live like this, where they have made a mockery of the teachings of the Quran? Because the Quran doesn't permit you to divorce your wife in this manner. Bang, bang, bang. The Quran doesn't permit you to do this. But they've made a mockery of the teachings of the Quran. And then because they can't face the big world out there, they can't face the people out there. What will people say when they come to know that he's done this? The guy can't face it, his in-laws. Nobody knows. The only people that know is me and her. We'll brush it under the carpet. Nobody will ever get to know. And there are hundreds that live like this. You'd be surprised. A woman rang me. She received who Allah had given the tawfiq to repent. She had received three talaqs. And she lived like this with her husband for 2 years. Can you imagine? 2 years she has lived with this person she considers to be her husband. Because in the eyes of Allah, this guy's a nobody now. But she's lived with him. Why? Because she was fearing the consequences. Or what her family would say, what the people would say. and not at all concerned with regard to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that a day will come that you will answer for this. And you will answer that you have lived 2 years of your life fornicating with a man that wasn't halal for you. Another woman ran. Her husband's given her talaq hundreds of times. And this is another thing, he doesn't think anything of it. And this happened. Only about 2-3 weeks ago, a brother ran, that his wife demanded talaq. And she came down with a few guys asking for talaq. The guy didn't want to give talaq. She knew best. This was in their best interest, she said. Pressurized the guy, and the guy's gone and given all three. After a week, she returns. She's now come with her head on her shoulder. And she still thinks that she loves him. And she comes and says, "Them three talaqs are not done. Let's get back together." So this is one of two things that happens. The second scenario is this. That a guy gives these three talaqs. And this couple is such that they are aware of the laws of Islam. And they know the consequences. And they know that after uttering these words of talaq, the damage has been done. But after having played with the Book of Allah, they will look for, as I call, Jim will fix it, halalas. Or they will look for people that are sympathetic to their cause. People that will tell them that their talaqs and their divorce has not been done. And they will come. They will come to one scholar, and they will relate their case. And the alim will say, "She's no longer your wife." Now they will slightly change the story and go to another one. And he will say, "Your wife is no longer your wife." And now they will go to a third and change the story a bit more. And they will keep on changing the story till they will finally come across a person that will say that your talaqs have not been done. And as soon as they find a person that says this, and you will, this is the 21st century. Come on guys, let's be real. There's not a single thing that you can't buy out there. If you're looking for it, you're going to get it. So as soon as they find this guy that has told them that their talaq's not done, there's a smile on their face. And they will act upon this. Why? Not because this is the right ruling. Who on the face of this earth can change that Quran or change the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if the teachings of the Quran and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that she's gone right on the day of judgment. But they act upon this. Why? Because this is the thing that they were looking for. They were looking for this. And they've got this. Somebody's told them that it is okay. This is what happens. And today I have come here to deal with this second problem of three talaqs, of divorcing your wife thrice. How we play with the teachings of the Quran. How we ignore every single guideline Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam set with regards to making a marriage work. We ignore everything. Then out of the blue, out of anger, we will go and we will divorce our wives. And then when we come round, all of a sudden, we're looking for somebody to help us at a time when nobody can help us. The question for today is, Where are we going wrong with our marriages? At one time you never even heard of divorce within Muslims. Look at our mothers and fathers. Living in countries where they were not fortunate as you and I. Barely anything to eat. In the fields all day, plowing the land. But in spite of this, they lived together as husband and wife till death do us part. 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You never heard of divorce within our mothers and fathers or grandparents. Yet they had nothing. But look how blessed their lives were. Why? Because they were pure. Simple as this. Good, pure people from within and pure from the outside. Their knowledge of Islam was minimal. But the little that they knew, they would act upon. They would perform Hajj once in a lifetime. But that one Hajj was so pure that after their Hajj, never ever would they ever turn to sin. And today we perform the Hajj. Year in, year out. People go for Umrah 3-4 times a year. There are people that go for Hajj every year. But in spite of that, there will be no change in their life. They will be doing exactly the same haram things which they did prior to their Hajj. So the question is, where are we going wrong with our marriages? Why is that people 40, 45, 50 years of age, can you imagine divorcing somebody at the age of 50? I mean, what have you got left in your life after this? But it's becoming rife and it's on the increase. Not just within the youngsters, even those that are middle-aged. These are the things that we're going to deal with today. Number one, problem number one. The blessing. Our marriages are no longer blessed. There are no blessings, no barakat in our marriages. Have you seen the way our marriages are celebrated? Every haram under the sun. We celebrate our weddings by doing this. This very act of worship. And Islam considers this act of marriage, it's not a normal act, it is a blessed act. It is considered an act of worship. Every time a person comes to his wife, he will get reward for it, he will get thawab for it. It is no normal act. It is a special act in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a blessing. At one time it was considered a blessing. And today our marriages are considered an act of blow and show. Blow meaning, blow every single penny that you possess. Show, to show the people, your friends, your relatives, what you're really made out of. How difficult our marriages have become. Just look at marriage worldwide. Look at any Arab states, whether it's Saudiya, whether it's Kuwait, Jordan. The youngsters can't afford to get married. And because of this, they're turning to zina. Why? Because the dowries that the women are asking there are ridiculous. From 100,000 dinar, dirham, rial, 200,000, 300,000, 500,000, the sky is the limit. And these bichari can't afford such dowries. They cannot afford to get married, and thereby that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this desire in every human being. And because they're unable to control their desires, they end up committing zina. Yet, how, and believe it or not, they've set up institutions which go around collecting donations from people, and you will see this in the days of Hajj, in the days of Umrah, there are people standing there that ask for donations. to help these youngsters get married. How bad do you think the situation must be? Can you comprehend this? Our Arab brothers standing on the streets asking for donations to help other Arab brothers get married? Who would think that a day would come that where you would see Arab brothers standing on the streets asking Muslims to donate so that they can help their Arab brothers get married? Things must be really bad that they have to do this. Yet how simple was it at the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The hadith recorded by Imam Muslim on the authority of Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala an, he relates, جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that a woman came and she offered herself in marriage to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. Can you imagine? The Sahaba are seated and she comes and she offers herself, thinking, who better am I going to get as a husband than Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم? The piety and the beauty of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the human mind cannot even comprehend such piety and beauty. And seeing this, she comes and she offers herself to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his gaze and he looked at her. And after a while he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered his gaze. And when the woman realized that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no interest, she sat down. So there was a sahabi there. He stood up. Ya Rasulullah, in lam yakun laka bi haja fazawwijniha. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Messenger of Allah, if you have no need, then marry this woman to me. Can you imagine? Just imagine if it took place in this gathering, just like this. Can you comprehend such things? Now we would be cursing this guy left, right, and center. What's this guy playing at? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, ask, falhindaka min shay? Do you have anything that you could give to this woman as dowry? He says, wallahi la ya Rasulullah. By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I have nothing. I am a poor person. I have nothing that I can give this girl. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, go home and go ask your family, maybe somebody will have something. Whatever little that you have, bring it so you can give it to her in dowry. And he goes home and he returns after a while. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how's this zilch? There's nothing there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says again, unzur walau khatam min hadith. Go home and have a good look, even if it's a ring made out of steel, made out of iron. Even if you got something as little as this, a ring made out of iron, go bring it so you can give it to us in dowry. He goes home and says, Ya Rasulullah, walau khatam min hadith. I've looked everywhere, there's not even a ring made out of iron at home. There is nothing that I can give her. There is one thing, O Messenger of Allah, hadha izari. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing that I can give her other than my izar, my lower garment. And the narrator Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'di radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Yamalahu rida, he was so poor that he had no upper garment. All he had was his lower garment, his chadr. And he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I can give her half of this. How pure. How pure these people were. It was because of their purity that the Quran would descend. Laqad radiya Allah. And time after time the Quran would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with these people. Nabi Kareem, look how simple he was. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him, Kima tasna bi izarik? Come on, what's she going to do with your izar? You want to give her half of your izar? If you wear it, what's she going to wear? And if she wears it, what are you going to wear? He sat down, thinking, this is not my day. And he sat down. And he sat for a while. And he waited, maybe something will come out of this. And he sat for a while and he waited. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on doing his things and dealing with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And this Sahabi, on realizing that this is not his day, he stood up to leave. As he was about to leave, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and called him. He told me, ماذا معك من القرآن? How much of the book of Allah do you know? He said, Ya Rasulullah, ma'i surah kada wa kada. O Messenger of Allah, I know so and so and so surah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, did you know these surahs off by heart? Have you memorized them off by heart? He said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've memorized them all off by heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Irhab, faqad malaktukaha bima ma'aka min al-Qur'an. Go on. I've married this girl to you on the condition that with these surahs that you know, you will teach her these surahs of dawah. How simple this wedding was. Let me give you another example. The hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad and Imam Tabrani on the authority of Sayyidina Rabi'a al-Aslami. Hazrat Rabi'a was a khadim of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would make khidmah and he would serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I would make khidmat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, Ya Rabi'a, فلا تتزوج. O Rabi'a, do you not marry? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما أريد أن أتزوج. وما عندي ما يقيم المرأة. وما أحب أن يشغلني عنك شيء. O Messenger of Allah, I don't want to marry. I cannot support a woman. I have nothing. And at the same time, the most of all, Ya Rasulullah, I serve you, I make khidmat. I don't want anything to divert my attention from you and from serving you. This is not the deen though, is it? The hadith states, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face away. He says, on another occasion, again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed the same question. Ya Rabi'a, ala tatazawaj? O Rabi'a, will you not marry? And he says, again, I gave exactly the same answer. Ya Rasulullah, ma urid an atazawaj, wa ma indi ma yuqim al mar'a, wa ma uhib ma yushghilani anka shay. I cannot support a woman. I don't want anything to occupy my time or divert my attention from you. He says, okay, then I had a good think of this. And I said to myself, Wallahi, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a'lamu minni bima yuslihuni fi dunya wal akhirah. You think I said to myself, okay, by Allah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows better than me with regards to what is good for me in the dunya as well as the akhirah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows better. And by Allah, if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks me this time, or Rabi'a